A multidimensional personality. A multidimensional personality. Imam Muhammad Raza. Imam Muhammad Raza. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, MashaAllah, once again we are here in a beautiful program regarding the biography of Ala Hazrat Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman, a multi-dimensional personality. Today we are here with another beautiful and interesting topic, which is the unique qualities of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. Inshallah, before we proceed towards our main topic, let's make few good intentions, because it is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. Intention of a believer is better than his actions. We can make intentions like, I will deliver this silsila for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, insha'Allah azza wa jal. You all shall make an intention that you will listen from start till end for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And insha'Allah, whatever you learn, you will act upon and you will pass this knowledge on to others too, insha'Allah azza wa jal. If you've got a pen and paper, it's a good idea to note down the important bits, important points. It will be good for you for your later revision notes, insha'Allah azza wa jal. And also, when you write something, it helps you to remember that stuff. My dear Islamic brothers, sending salawat upon Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has countless blessings, alhamdulillah, no doubt at all. I would like to mention one of them, inshallah, with you. The one who recites once salawat upon Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ghamon tum ko jo ghira hai to durood padho. Ghamon tum ko jo ghira hai to durood padho. Jo haziri ki tamanna hai to durood padho. My Islamic brothers, if you have got any problems, any tensions, send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, with the blessings of salawat and salutations, your problems will be sorted. And if you would like to go and visit Madinatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then send salawat in abundance. Inshallah, inshallah, a time will come and you will be able to go and visit the blessed Rawza-i Rasul. And alhamdulillah, today we are here praising a personality who praised Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today we are talking about a personality who alhamdulillah followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that personality is Imam of Ahli Sunnah, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman. And today we'll be talking about the unique qualities Imam Ahli Sunnah had, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will be inshallah learning so many beautiful, unique qualities, and after learning them, after listening them, make an intention. Inshallah, you will try to adopt those blessed habits and those blessed qualities from Imam of Ahli Sunnah, inshallah azza wa jal. Now, let's go to our Muballighin of Dawat Islami and what they are going to share with us regarding this beautiful topic. Doctor, what would you like to add here with regards to the blessed, unique qualities of Ala Hazrat to the viewers of Madani Channel?
I think one thing we do see as a unique attribute of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala is that he has been generous not in his physical attributes, but he's generously shared knowledge with the Ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. So inshallah, what I would intend to do today is to talk mainly two aspects of Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's unique qualities. One is how he tamed science under the auspices of Islam. And second, how he brought medicine and actually the concepts and principles of modern medicine over a century ago, which are as true today as they were at that time.
This topic would also suit you because, mashallah, you're also in the field of medicine and you're yourself a doctor. Yes, please, carry on.
Exactly. So, as a doctor, if I have a condition to investigate or research, I would choose a reference book. And that reference book would have, perhaps, it would cover one branch of medicine, one specialty of medicine. But a definition of an encyclopedia is where it would cover various aspects of a particular knowledge. And that's what we see in those 6,847 questions with over 22,000 pages of Fatawa Razviya Sharif. It's not just an encyclopedia talking about Islamic, the concepts and the basics of Islam, but actually underneath those, there are so many layers of various scientific pros and scientific poles which he has shared with us through Fatawa Razviya Sharif. But I think before I delve into that, again, what is something unique to Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that nowadays if you see modern science, so it's a materialistic word, people look towards modern medicine, they look towards modern science, but then they so blindly follow science that they forget the basic principles of our deen of religion. And then in that pursuit of materialism, as long as something makes sense, they would follow science. And if it is something where there's a conflict between science and religion, they would prefer science. But the beauty of Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that whenever he has given example, and that we'll discuss examples from physics, examples from chemistry, examples from medicine, wherever he shared those, he has made this principle very, absolutely crystal clear. That science, wherever they go together, then we accept the principles for both. Otherwise, alhamdulillah, I can show you that wherever there is a conflict, the science has to follow religion. So this is unique to Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, just because
theories, they are ever all the time changing. You see, there were so many theories in the past, the different scientists, they presented those theories, but later on, the other scientists, they came up and they refuted those theories, because these can change at any time.
That's
at
right.
particular times, something would be different, but later on could be different. But alhamdulillah, Quran, whatever was 1400 years ago, it is still today the same. It will be still today until end of the day, because this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Creator.
The uniqueness of Imam Ahle Sunnat alayhi rahmah, the insight he not only had into the religious affairs, but also in the scientific aspects of things, which would have mesmerized and perplexed various scientists as well. And if you look from a scholarly perspective, Dr. Saab, even this uniqueness, you would find him an absolutely unique muhaddith and mufassir, who's provided us works in the format of Fatawa Razviya Sharif. And if you look this from the other aspect of a scientist, then you will find him to be a completely unique scientist as well. So this uniqueness of Ala Hazrat pertains from both angles, from both aspects, from the angle of fiqh, from the angle of science. No muhaddith has done such work as Ala Hazrat has done, and no scientist has done such work as Ala Hazrat has done.
MashaAllah, it's also a good lesson for us that we have to learn the both of the knowledges, the knowledge of this world today we're living in, and especially the most important, the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Also, you were just giving some examples.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. So I think extending that point, that is the key to the Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, is that you see, even when we're researching perhaps a masala, a question of deen, and then you would have to go through various books to get these various components and then bring them together. But Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he had such a beautiful, in a sense, scientific mind that he really brought this branch of modern science, which is taxonomy. He brought the classification together. So if we have already shared those examples in previous programs, where he would talk about something, and in every book wherever he could find, he will bring it all together on one piece of paper and he would say,
recite references
and say this, so this is using the taxonomic classification, which we use so often in medicine,
right,
where we have to, you know, break down all the diseases into various parts and subparts. And Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does exactly that with, so the example, what I would like to start off perhaps with physics. So, and again, the beauty is that he didn't just mention science for the sake of it, not just to impress people that look,
right,
though I'm known as an imam, but actually I have that much scientific knowledge. He always brought that, as I mentioned earlier, under the auspices of Islam.
Right.
So that, for example, this is a beautiful example. So this is in Fatawa Razviya Sharif, 23rd volume. So what happens is that in those days, as nowadays, there's almost, I think we discussed yesterday, there's almost this disease of recording music in various instruments,
right,
through tablets, through, yeah, and then we are sharing it, we are actually listening to it. And so in those days, it was gramophone.
Okay.
So that gramophone had just come, had just become available. And the question comes to Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that if someone records music in those records of those gramophones, which nowadays are still available, those who collect antique things, there's still access to that.
Sure.
So the question is, actually an Islamic question, is that if the music is recorded and the song is recorded, is it still haram to listen to that?
Hmm.
Because now it is recorded, it's not actually live music, live show. And now a mufti could have easily answered that, you know, in four lines and say, yes, you know,
no,
the recorded is actually,
lies.
Exactly. So he could have, you know, so he could, and that would have been actually an enough explanation. But what Sayyidi Alaihi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, he starts off and he says, well, let's delve into first what is sound.
So, wow.
And then the question, so he answers six questions in that. And the first question he says, what is sound? Second, how is it produced? Third, how it's heard. Fourth, when it comes into the ear, does it sustain or does it actually remit? And then he says, what happens to how the sound travels? So he's discussing the principles of physics. And later on, what we found that what the, all the examples and the explanation he gave, we now know that as damped harmonic motion of sound.
Definitely.
So he brought all of that underneath and then proved through physics principles that what's recorded is exactly what the owner intended, and hence you cannot differentiate the two. Mm-hmm. And I, following physics principles, I can prove it that actually it is as haram to listen to that as it is listening to live show.
Subhanallah. Mashallah. Mani Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, do you see the unique qualities Allah has possessed? You see, the people, some people, they've got command at one subject, but they don't have on other subjects. But this is a multi-dimensional personality. You see him as a muhaddis, you see him as a mufassir, you see him as a muhaddis, you see him as a researcher, you see him as a scientist, you see him as a mathematician. Subhanallah, whatever dimensions you go into deep, and you see this personality is amazing. This personality is really a huge personality. His height is so huge, to be honest with you. That's the reason we are doing a program about the biography of Allah Hazrat. Those people, my dear Islamic brothers, they have not read about him. If they read once the books, even just Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, they will understand what is his maqam, what is his status in terms of the knowledge, subhanAllah. Those, they think that there's the science or something, the modern knowledges are something to do good with, they also should read Imam Muhammad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman. They would know that this Imam of Ahl Sunnah, subhanAllah, what a dimensional personality he was, and subhanAllah. And he has given the proofs, he has left some sort of literature in each and every, you see, subject and knowledge. That's what we are discussing here. These, the kinds of sounds, these questions about sounds, they were presented in his fatawa. That's why we say he had a knowledge of physics. And whatever physics talks about this knowledge, alhamdulillah, he had presented approximately a century ago. May Allah Ta'ala shower blessings upon his mazar. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. You have anything to share with viewers of Madam Channel with regards to the unique qualities?
When we talk about the qualities of Allah Hazrat, and we go a bit more deeper into the seerah of Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, another uniqueness we find is his memory.
Subhanallah.
The memory of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh was such that even a lot of unique people would not possess. And when we Look at the incident which we are about to hear, the event that took place. A lot of even those who would stand out in the ordinary people, who would already have attained a classification of being unique among people, even they will be amazed. What happens, because Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his rank and dignity was immensely elevated, and people, they would go to any extent to catch a glimpse of Imam Ahl Sunnah alayhi rahmah. So obviously when people would write letters to him, they would obviously have big alqabat, big titles written along with it. So once, as per routine, Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi receives a letter. And on the letter, someone addressed him with the word Hafiz.
Allah.
With the word Hafiz. And after reading this word, it is written that his eyes welled up.
Allah.
The tears appeared in his eyes. Now when someone praises us today, someone calls us Allama sahab, Maulana sahab, what is the state of our heart?
Sure.
You know? But when Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala receives this letter on which he is addressed with the title of Hafiz, his eyes welled up. See, the tears came into his eyes, and with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, their heart trembled. This is the state of their heart which is changing.
Sure.
And they said that I fear that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put me among those people. In the Holy Quran it is said, and they desire that such qualities of theirs are mentioned which do not exist in them.
Allah.
As of now, until this time, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala was not a Hafiz until now, until this letter was received. Now this letter is received and the state of the heart of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmah is completely changed. He's trembling with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. His eyes are welled up with the fear that on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put me among those people who are told that he is among those who desired to be praised for those qualities which do not exist in him. So what happens after that? That Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala made a firm intention that I will memorize the Quran by heart. Just to prove this person right. For his the positive opinion he has about me, to prove him right, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, I will memorize the Quran by heart. I will become a Hafiz. And now, what would Ala Hazrat do? What was his routine? Coming back to the unique memory of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmah, he said that every day, after performing the wudu of Isha, after performing the wudu of Isha, until the jama'at of Isha, Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would make someone recite one or just slightly over one para to him. And what he would hear, he would memorize it.
Subhanallah, my dear Islamic brothers, what are the beautiful, unique qualities of Allah, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, subhanallah, we're talking about. And there are some people, they just get impressed by the memory. Nowadays, this is also a disease, to be honest with you. Somebody, he can just do a bit of memory game and people, they get impressed. Oh, how good he is in his memory. He's reciting all the ayahs, he's reciting the references, this, that, the other. But my Islamic brothers, whenever you are hearing, listening to somebody, especially the Islamic knowledge, don't just get impressed by his memory. You have to know whether what he's talking is right or not. What he's talking is the right beliefs or not. Is he not the person of corrupt beliefs? He can destroy your beliefs. That's very important. But subhanAllah, what can you talk about the status of Al-Azad, of Al-Imam, of Ahl Sunnah? There are so many other qualities. There are so many other attributes you talk about. But if you think memory is also something good quality, then my Imam Ahmed Raza possessed that to an ultimate level. Alhamdulillah.
If one's criteria for choosing someone based on the is based on the memory, then why go anywhere else? Imam Ahl Sunnah rahma, no one can surpass him in this quality either. And bearing in mind that, you know, when we do hifz, we recite the Quran. When you want to memorize something by heart, you recite it, you read it yourself, and then you end up memorizing it. But Imam Ahl Sunnah rahma made someone else recite it to him, and he was listening to him.
And then he was memorizing.
This is another uniqueness.
Amazing.
One uniqueness of memorizing the Holy Quran within just over a month period of time. Within a very short span of time.
I now remember Wasim Bhai, another waqia which was just mentioned earlier in another program, that Al Hazrat had borrowed one book from one of the scholars, right? When he borrowed that book, he said, I will take it. But then he changed his mind, he stayed a bit one more night. Then he read that book, and later on he said, I don't want this book, you can keep it. right? SubhanAllah, the reason he said that, I have read it all, and whatever is in it, the every sentence and every line, anything, if I want to cite that, I don't need this book. Alhamdulillah, it is in my hafiza. This is in my memory. This was the memory of Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. The Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about the blessed, unique qualities of Allah Hazrat Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. Drops, if you want to add anything.
So, mashallah, we were just talking about the extraordinary memory. And look the stark contrast we are facing today. So, dementia is a major problem now, which we are facing in modern world.
Sure.
So here we have somebody over a century ago with such extraordinary qualities that he can remember the whole Quran within a month. He can memorize it. And here we are, you know, with all these problems with dementia, you know, one of the major problems that you're now facing.
Especially in UK as well.
Few weeks ago, I was teaching the principles of ultrasound. So this is the sound which a human ear cannot hear.
Right.
And this is, as we now know, it is one of the modern imaging modalities used in various specialties of medicine. So antenatal screening, so as women go for their scans before childbirth, you know, it's one of the common scans which would happen is ultrasound.
Right.
So the question is, how can ultrasound detect something which is happening deep inside the body?
Hmm.
And the phenomenon there is that the beauty of sound waves is that as they strike, matters of different densities that reflect back at a differential rate.
Right.
And that is what ultrasound probe is picking, and then it's depicting on the screen.
So
it is this, you know, the simplest explanation of how ultrasound works. And this is the principle which we now have in sonar, and we use in submarines, and, you know, there are lots of human uses for it. So a question comes to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, again from Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, volume 26, and basically a follower of a different religion. He now tries to criticize Islam and says, well, how could he explain that something as deep inside the body could potentially be detected by any instrument in future? And now, just to remind the viewers of Madani Channel, that ultrasound hasn't fully developed yet. So this was on the horizon. It was happening.
Right.
But so the principles weren't known that well. People didn't know how it would work. But the, you know, but the, there was
research was going on.
The research was happening. So what Sayyidi Alaa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, he gives example and he says that he explains the whole phenomenon of ultrasound exactly as I've done in that booklet and says, when similarly, we know that the layers of the abdomen or the tummy actually are of different densities because you go through the skin, the epidermis and the muscle layer, and then you go into the layers around the uterus.
The knowledge of densities.
So he knew the densities, and he said, so of course, an ultrasound should be able to pick because this is exactly how it works. So he wrote a whole booklet explaining that, which we now know is actually what we call piezoelectric phenomenon of ultrasound. So even the name of this concept comes after Sayyidi Alaa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala already explained, under, again, explaining the beauty of Islam, that this does not conflict with Islam, but actually, we know that this is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's creation, and you are able to do that. So he's explaining, you know, this sound, the physics of ultrasound and the biophysics by giving practical example, and now we see that this is a normal scan which women would
maybe understand. These branches of knowledge, especially the physics branches, further branches, were not known at that time, right? And subhanAllah, Allah has talked about it in his fatawa, Razaviya Sharif, subhanAllah, and the reference has been quoted, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. These are the blessed and unique qualities of Allah Hazrat, Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has got our system of Darul Madina. In that Darul Madina, Dawat Islami is taking the students who can at the same time learn Quran, and they can also learn the modern knowledges which are present in this day and age. And alhamdulillah, in Pakistan, we've got so many branches, especially in UK, we've got branches. And across the globe, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Dawat Islami's Darul Medina branches are expanding. And if you've got your children, you can get admission, inshallah, in Darul Medina. And inshallah, your children will also have the knowledge of Quran and Hadith and Islamic teachings. At the same time, they will be, inshallah, better Muslims and better doctors, better engineers, and inshallah they will have a modern tools and technologies with them, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wasim bhai, you would like to add here with regards to this topic today.
Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala, his kindness and how affectionate he was even towards his servants who were working in his house was amazing. As it is stated that those servants who used to work in the house of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala, they will not sack them unless someone would leave themselves, or they would get inflicted with a disease or something, or they would be on their deathbed, or someone would come from their family and take them away. But Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala, they would pay their salary until the day the person passed away. So all his life, Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala, whoever worked in his house as a servant, they never sacked him. And beautiful incident we again find in the seerah of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala regarding how beautifully he looked after leave the rights of service aside, but how affectionate he was towards them. When a Sayyid Zada, someone from the blessed, from the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to work in the house of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And as soon as Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh finds out that he is a Sayyid Zada, Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh commands everyone in the house that beware, do not make him do any work. Instead, serve him.
Subhan.
Make sure you don't make him do any work. In fact, we are his servants.
Subhan.
Serve him and look after him. And the salary that was decided beforehand, obviously at that time it wasn't known that he's a Sayyidzada. The salary that was decided beforehand, that was still given to him, presented to him as a gift.
Subhan.
So this was the affection, the kindness, the generosity, and the affection that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala even had towards his servants.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. My Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, I would like to share you one beautiful attribute, quality of Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, that he did not have love for this dunya. He did not have love for the people of wealth. He did not have kind of affection towards the people of wealth. Right? He always praised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, in Hind, in India, there is one place called Nanpara. That is the place called. And there was a Nawab, a person, see, a kind of a leader, you can say, right? And he was there. And it was the time when Allah had lived. So people used to praise to the people who are wealthy people, right? Who are leaders of their nation or something. So they used to praise those people. They could write poetry, they could write poems, they would write poems for their praise. And those people of wealth would pay them just because they are praising them in their poems. So many Islamic brothers, this was also requested in the court of Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, that please write something for the praise of Nawab of Nanpara. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, he wrote a qasida in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When he was requested to write something for Nanpara's Nawab, but he wrote for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he writes, subhanallah, وہ کمالِ حسنِ حضور ہے, وہ کمالِ حسنِ حضور ہے کہ گمانِ نقص جہاں نہیں. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's حسن, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beauties, climax is such that there is no نقص, there is no fault in the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وہ کمالِ حسنِ حضور ہے کہ گمان, there is no thought, even somebody cannot even think of a fault. Forget about having a fault is separate, but you cannot have a guman. You can't have just a thought of a fault in the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is faultless. وہ کمال حسن حضور ہے کہ گمان نقص جہاں نہیں یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی شمع ہے کہ دھواں نہیں. سبحان اللہ, what a metaphorical brilliance he had. Allahu Akbar, he says, سبحان اللہ, مانی اسلامی مطلب, what a beautiful comparison he brought. He says, the shamma, the candle, right? When it burns, there is a smoke with the candle. There is a flower, it has a thorn with it. But he says, you see, something positive has got something negative. But this, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that this is such a flower which does not have any thorns with it. This is such a candle which doesn't have any smoke with it. So there is no fault in the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he writes and he goes on and on and on. I can't go into that detail, time doesn't permit. And of this poem, subhanallah, in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he beautifully writes, karu madhe ahle دول رضا, کروں مدح اہل دول رضا, پڑے اس بلا میں میری بلا, میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا, میرا دین پارا نا نہیں. Why shall I praise for the people of wealth? Why shall I praise, O Raza? Why will you praise for the people of wealth? You are the gada of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the beggar of the court of Aka Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. Main gada hoon apne kareem ka, mera deen para hai na nahi. Naan para was the word of the city of that nawab. He used how beautifully he changed. You see, the phrase in a word, you see, para hai na. Para-e-na now means the piece of a bread. He says, my deen is not a piece of a bread that I can sell it for a piece of a bread. For the sake of these wealthy people, my deen is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Raza will do madha, he will do madha of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Karu madhe ahle duwal raza, pade is bala mein meri bala. Main gada hu apne kareem ka, mera deen para-e-na nahi. Same thing, similar he writes, subhanallah, another place, unka mangta paon se thukra de, wo duniya ka taaj, jiski khatir mar gaye, mun'am ragad kar eediya. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Darshan, you would like to add another beautiful aspect of the qualities of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmed Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahmat.
So as the same way, mashallah, saying about kindness, and I think again, you know, the word kindness is so broad in its meaning, and you know, there could be so many types of kindness, so many ways in which one could be kind. I think one of the ways is to help the ummah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for a faqih, for a scholar, one way to do that would be to find ways to make it easier for people to follow the principles of Islam. And indeed, this is a way of kindness for a mufti, for a scholar as well. So this was again one of the beauties of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. And that fits in quite nicely with his knowledge now of geophysics and chemistry. So the question comes to him about water and the types of water which can be used to do wudu. So now again, the question could be simply answered by what are the types of water which you could use, and you know, so what Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, he goes into the chemical principles of water.
And kinds of water.
And the kinds of water. So he's talking about, so we know, for example, that it is in itself a miracle for water to exist in liquid form at room temperature. So if the students of chemistry would know that if you look at the compounds of similar molecular weight, so if you take hydrogen sulfide, for example, they cannot exist at room temperature as a liquid. So it's only water which has that molecular weight. And then there's so much more which we can discuss about the surface tension. But now Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is using these chemical principles to explain what types of water are actually permissible. And he gives 175 different types of, you know, where we can actually, so he gives different types of water which can be used. And then he gives 146 types of water which are not permissible to do wudu. So he actually gives a list of that. So if you don't have water and you want to read prayer, what would you do? Now, our beautiful deen has given us tayammum.
Yes.
So now a question comes, which is that can a coral can be used to do tayammum?
Hmm.
So now one needs to know what coral is first.
Yeah.
And then they need to know whether coral belongs to earth. Is the origin of the coral
the gins of earth or not? Yeah.
Is the gins of earth or not? So Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala could again give us a very simple answer, whether it is or it isn't. Yeah. What Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, he now is, you know, he's shedding light on the principles of geophysics. He explains why coral actually is allowed to do the yahoo, and not just, you know, because you can do it, because he then explains these are the characteristics of a coral.
So you can call him a geologist as well.
As a geologist, absolutely. So this is now the knowledge of geology speaking. And then he says, so then he goes into further detail about tayammum, and he says that there are, you know, he gives 7 definitions of tayammum. And then he say, he gives 175 situations where tayammum is possible. And then after giving that, then he splits that into further 2 categories. He says, okay, so there's absence of water, we can do tayammum, these are 175 possible scenarios. And then he then, so again going back to the classification and the taxonomy he's now using with all that knowledge. And then he says that in order to do, be able to do tayammum, now I provide you a list of things. So there are 181 things which you can use to do tayammum, and there are 130 which you cannot use. So look at how much knowledge one would need to, about the geology, about the physics of all those materials and metals, and you know whether those are possible or not. And then he adds that 74 of those, the ones which are permissible, you can find in these books, and he cites references. And 107 I am adding to the list. And similarly, the ones which are
infamous. Other fuqaha had not added. He had added it as a research.
Exactly, as a research, but also the fact that obviously time has evolved, and there are more and more substances now available, there are more and more which is being extracted from earth in various forms. So he now has the most up-to-date knowledge, and he gives the most up-to-date list of whatever is available today on earth. Here is an example of 107 things which you can use, which you won't find in the older
book. The basic principle is that you do tayammum with the stuff which is the jins of an earth.
With the jins of an earth, which belongs to earth, which is origin of earth. And then for impermissible things, he says 58 sightseeing references, you can find an older book, and 72 I'm adding. And then after that, look at the extraordinary memory he has. So by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's grace, he remembers the books written over 1400 years to actually give, and after citing all of this, he says, remember this list because you won't find it anywhere else in the modern fiqh. So the jurisprudence examples he's giving, but again, being kind to Ummah and giving examples, practical examples through physics, through geology, and say, these are all the situations in which Islam makes it easier for us to be able to offer you prayers, and he's making it even easier by providing all those lists in one place.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. Amazing, my dear Islamic brothers. Today, another beautiful aspect, another beautiful dimension of Hala as being geologist, you see, it has been explained beautifully. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower is his mercy upon our Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmat rahmat wasima.
Rahmatullah ta'ala along with all the extraordinary qualities we're talking about, he was also among those people who would hearten Muslims, who would go to any extent to make sure to please Muslims, to keep them in his prayers. Now, if you take our example today, if we go to perform Hajj or Umrah or any sacred place, our relatives, our acquaintances, our friends, they say, please do dua for me, please do dua for me. And when we do happen to reach that place, how many of us remember the names of those people who've asked us to do dua for them? And even if we do, maybe hardly 50% names we would remember, maybe 20%. We all know our state. But look at the state of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that he cared about his servants, his ghulam, his relatives, his close acquaintances, and all his special murids, that for all of them, he had a very long list. He made a very long list for all of them, and every day, after Fajr Salah, after doing all his awrad, he would specially do dua by mentioning their names. This is his sympathy, this is his affection, the kindness he has towards his murideen, towards his family, towards his relatives, towards his friends and acquaintances, that he had a very, very long list, a very long list, and he would go through that list every single day without fail, every day after Fajr Salah, after reading his awrad. Now, Over here, we also get amazed after obviously listening to all the research that we come to know that Dr. Saab is shedding light on. Just imagine to the fact how time-consuming all these actions would be. And where was Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma getting all this time from?
True.
And if someone is doing a little bit of work of deen, he leaves a lot of other things to do that very specific task. But when we look at Ala Hazrat, any aspect we are picking up, we find out that he's done such research, which probably the experts of that field who didn't do anything else could do as much research. And despite all that commitment, despite all those commitments, still Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh would find time every single day to keep the whole list memorized in his heart and go through the whole list, take every single person's name and do dua for them. As the Murideen, as the Muhiddeen, or the ones who loved Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, they had this firm belief that Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh is a very pious person, is a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever there would be any problem, they would request him to do dua for them. Similarly, there was an incident of a close acquaintances of Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, who was inflicted with a problem, a calamity they called him, and he was very worried. And obviously when Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh asked him, that, you know, what is wrong with you? He obviously told him his problem. Then Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh said that I have added your name in my list as well. And I do dua for you as well every day now. It was just the fact that when we look into all these qualities and all the works that Imam Ahl Sunnah Ta'ala Rahmah has done, and the affection that he has, and the kindness that he has, the sympathy that he has, the vision that he had, then one just gets amazed that how did he manage to do this? Because obviously for him, there were 24 hours in a day as well. For us, there are 24 hours in the day as well. Other awliya, they had 24 hours in a day as well. How Imam Ahl Sunnah Ta'ala Rahmah would remember every single person's name, do dua for every single person that's taking their name, then have such grasp on science, such grasp on faith and everything. Then it's just beyond us. Because our intellect cannot comprehend that how this was possible. But then this is where it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakat in the time of his wali. This is a special bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the time that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had, there was special blessing in it, otherwise an ordinary person would not be able to achieve what Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has achieved and imparted to this ummah.
MashaAllah.
So yes, I would just extend that. So this element of empathizing with the ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so we see that in the form of kindness, which he has done by offering these various, you know, helps we could to do our ibadah, to do our worship. Another aspect of Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala is again his unique way of empathizing with Muslim Ummah, especially when he found them in trouble. So Veer's Madani Channel, you may remember, the year 2011, it was a very well publicized so-called prediction that year 2011 could be a doomsday. So the world could potentially come to an end, there would be huge earthquakes and all of that. And that was based on some, you know, sort of illogical prediction or forecast. So exactly a similar thing happened in the year of Sayyidi Ali Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi as well. So there was a very famous astrologist and astronomer from the States. So again, going over a century ago, this professor, a very well-known, renowned professor, so he does his research, and obviously it is a postulation, it's a theory. So he presents this, which is then now advertised, and it's all, you know, it's available through news, and people are listening about it. And what he said was that a similar doomsday was going to happen on 17th December 1919. So that was the year, that was the date he forecast and said, this is the day when the movement of Earth and the Sun, it would happen like this. So he gave examples through his knowledge of astrology.
There's going to be a destruction.
And there will be destruction, there will be earthquakes, and there will be tsunamis, and he's, you know, so he said all of that. So as that news reached the Ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his own country, so people started to get worried.
Yeah.
So the anxiety broke out, and then people are worried, and they're how should we prepare, what should we do? So now, you know, so again, as a mufti, he could give them the general, you know, sort of understanding and say this is all the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If it were to happen, if it would happen, no one can change that. So that is one way of addressing it. But what Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala does, and I would invite the Views of Madani channel, so Fatawa Razviya Sharif has been published, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. If you read the beauty of Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, when he explains something, he explains it to a level of a person who does not have any understanding. He actually draws pictures and diagrams, as perhaps, you know, medical students or chemistry students would do that in exams. He draws pictures to help explain the concept. So what he does, he uses now his own knowledge of astronomy, of astrology, and because he said it would happen 17 December, in rebuttal, he wrote, he gives 17 pieces of evidence through knowledge of astrology, explaining them with diagrams, to say that all the predictions he's made in terms of movement and where the sun and the earth and all the stars and everything would be, this is all wrong. Nothing is going to happen on that day. I can reassure you, based on this knowledge,
don't worry.
And hence you don't need to worry. So again, empathy with the Ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, manifesting through his knowledge of astrology. No, so there's not examples given through Quran or Sunnah. But actually, what he used, so this is the beauty of debate and the beauty of giving evidence, that he uses his own knowledge, he uses the same science which he was using, and give a beautiful rebuttal and disprove. And of course, 17 December came and went.
Nothing happened. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. My dear Islamic brothers, this is a beautiful personality, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ali Rahmat Rahman. Here we include one kalam, inshaAllah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
سجدون بدوالي من زور دعا کرنا جب وقت نزا آئے دیدار عطا کرنا جب وقت نزا آئے
Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about the blessed attributes, qualities of Allah Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ali Rahmatur Rahman. Such a huge personality, such a great name in history, such a great faqih, a scientist, a muhaddis, a mufassir, an alim, who had written 1,000 books. Each and every page of that book itself is a quality of knowledge he had presented to this ummah. And then, what is his state of ajzi? What is his state of humility? What is the state of his inkisari? Allahu Akbar. Sadr al-Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, he quotes that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma used to say this, that in my dream, even in my dream, that I have never even thought that I am an alim. I am a scholar. The Islamic brothers today, the people, they just read sarf and nahw books. Today the people, they read a few books and they just read the translation of Quran and they think they are scholars, they think they are mufakkir, they put so many titles with them, and they even we were talking about it, that some people, they don't put their titles when they call them for their speech, and they mind it, that why you have not put titles with me, such a great name, such a great scholar who has written 1,000 books, and then yet he says that I, in my dream even I have not thought that I am an alim. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers, once Allah Hazrat said that I have not been able to address my nafs, how shall I address others? I have not given vows to my nafs, how shall I give vows to others? The Islamic brothers, this is the humility, this is the ajzi. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us a little piece from the humility and ajzi for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islamic brothers, too, we should also get this humility and ajzi, because kibr is for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and Allah loves those who have ajzi, who have izz. And this is one of the beautiful traits, beautiful qualities and unique qualities of awliya Allah. Always they are down to earth, always they are humble in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The more you get down, the higher you get up, inshallah. My dear Islamic brothers, beautifully it has been said, mita de apni hasti ko agar kuch martaba chahe, mita de apni hasti ko agar kuch martaba chahe, ke dana khak mein milkar gure gulzar hota hai. If you want to become something, that you have to finish yourself. You see, you have to finish yourself in a meaning, my dear Islamic brothers, that you don't need to think that you are something. You have to be ajiz, you have to be humble. Because when the seed, it goes into the mud, you see, it finishes itself. And then, subhanAllah, my dear Islamic brothers, a tree is grown. And this is the beauty. And those trees, they bear fruits, they will always be down. Right? This is the beauty, and we have to be ajiz, and we have to have humbleness from the seerah of Imam Ahl Sunnah, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. And I think we are just finishing with the time, we're running out of time as well. The theme by the concluding remarks, a message to the viewers of Madani Channel.
Just very quickly touching base on the very beautiful topic that you've just mentioned regarding the humility of Imam Ahl Sunnah, rahmatullahi ta'ala, regarding the waz addressing to himself. Imam al-Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, being Imam of the time, someone who's just millions of people are waiting to just hold a glimpse of his. When he goes to deliver a speech somewhere, what does he do? He just reads through the book of his father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, whereas himself, he's Imam of the time. Himself, he's Muhaddith, he's Mufassir, he's Hafiz, he's Mufti, he's scientist. What al-Qabad can we, but look at his ajzi, humbleness, that he opens up a book of his father and starts reading through it to give a waz. Whereas many people would consider this to be a mean of insult for them. But look at the Imam of the time. What is he doing out of humbleness? He opens up a book and starts reading it. And this reflection, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, is found in Amir al-Sunnah in today. And this is what he emphasizes, the Muballighin of Dawat Islami as well, to whenever you're giving a bayan, always try to do bayan from a written text. And this is a true reflection of Imam al-Sunnah. And today's message, again, obviously, the way you beautifully summarized, that adopt humbleness, adopt humility, and stay away from arrogance. Only in this we will find salvation, in this world and the hereafter.
MashaAllah, beautiful message. Awesome.
Who adopts the aids for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala elevates him. And this is the elevation we're saying for the sake of humility. 100 years later, longer than that, we're sitting here commemorating and celebrating what he shared with the Ummah of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. So what I would like to, I think, to the Views Madani channel and those who are studying the modern medicine or sciences, I think the true exemplar, which Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala, and again, that is humility, certainly, what he's told to Sir Ziauddin, the Vice Chancellor of Aligarh University, when he solved this unsolvable theorem, and he asked, where did you get this knowledge? Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala says, I only learned the basic arithmetic principles, those four principles, only because it's needed to solve the problems of inheritance.
The rest.
And the rest, I wanted to do more, but my father, Maulana Khairi Khan rahmatullah ta'ala, said, you only need to do for the sake of Islam. So if you learn this, the rest will be taught to you by the Holy Prophet So this is what we are sharing, is actually the ilm he got in sadaqah of adhering himself, of actually attaching himself and to the principles of Islam and actually promoting that. So what we really need to think is that we need to adhere ourselves to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami. Because this gives us that platform and brings us to, you know, the how Islam can be implemented today in our lives and our societies. And if we do that, then whether it's science, whether it's modern medicine, as long as it does not conflict with those principles, then alhamdulillah, there is room for that. And this is what Sayyidi Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala teaching is, and this is what Dawat Islami is doing.
MashaAllah. This is what Dawat Islami is doing. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, who is the founder of Dawat Islami? That is my Sheikh Tariqat, Amir Ahl Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, the founder of Dawat Islami, the founder of Madani Channel. And my dear Islamic brothers, let me say, no doubt Allah has his personality is so great, so huge, definitely. But alhamdulillah, there is a huge contribution of Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, to highlight this personality, to show to the world what a great personality he was. We never knew who Allah Hazrat is. We never knew who wrote Mustafa Jani Rahmat Pilakun Salam. We never knew what is Kanzul Iman and who has written the Kanzul Iman. But subhanallah, through the speeches, through the love of Allah Hazrat, Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri, alhamdulillah, through various means, especially through Madani Channel. Today we are sitting talking about this is all the blessings of Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri. And I would like to conclude this program on two couplets I would like to inshallah recite. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, where is also Zikri Raza. Maslak ka tu imam hai Ilyas Qadri, تقدیر تیری کام ہے الیاس قادری, فکر رضا کو کر دیا عالم پہ آشکار, فکر رضا کو کر دیا عالم پہ آشکار, یہ تیرا اونچا کام ہے, یہ اونچا کام ہے الیاس Tomorrow we'll come up with another beautiful topic, unique topic, inshallah, and inshallah, my dear Islamic brothers, keep reciting salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A multi-dimensional personality, a multi-dimensional personality, Imam Muhammad Raza, Imam Muhammad Raza.